Welcome, everyone, to the Justin Ryan Bizarro Show. I'm Justin Bizarro. That's B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-O. If you want to find me out there, you can find me at Justin Bizarro. Again, B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-O. For anyone who's out there, you can also find us on Spotify or wherever else you grow yourself through podcasts, including Justin the Food Entrepreneurs, The Night Dasher with Justin Bizarro, and The Centurion Leadership Battalion Show with Justin Bizarro. So, welcome, everyone, to the Justin Ryan Bizarro Show. I said my name like 1,000 times. It's almost like Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And, but I'd like to welcome back Sugar Ray from Queens, New York. How are you doing today?
Yo, man, I'm good. I'm great, actually. Happy to be on your show again, man. You know, it's always good talking to you. It's always good exploring different ideas and concepts about life and growth and human potential and all that good stuff with you. So thanks for having me back.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, I think we're recording on a good day for to talk about it. One, today's a pretty significant day, even though this episode won't release until later, number one. And number two is we were starting to get into a lot of family dynamics and family background. And the day before today was actually Father's Day. So I feel like for both of us being men and big dreamers, you know, our family life has taken a lot of tolls along the way in who we are. I also feel that based on what today represents, the emancipation of slavery in the United States, but also where on a global scale and you as a human, in terms of the slavery that still exists in the world and sort of what a background and an understanding of what happened to us before, you know, and what your mission is sort of now to, you know, help all humans. I think we started to get into it, but we dove so far into history, we didn't sort of get through all of it, and we were on a time constraint because I was running behind that day. So I really want to just take the time and dive in, even if we have to do a part three eventually, but I'm going to sort of just turn the mic over to you like you did on when I was on your show, which was awesome. I loved it. I can't wait to do another one for you, even if you do a live studio audience. So let's start off there. Let's quick talk about your new show. Let's talk about what your goals are for that show that you're doing. And then let's dive into sort of the Father's Day and the family background. And then obvious today being Juneteenth or June 19th.
Yep. I mean, so the Sugar Ray Show is actually not a new show. It's just I'm finally committed to it. So in 2010, I actually did the Sugar Ray Show, the first iteration on Blog Talk Radio. We did like 6 months, you know, every Wednesday. It was incredible, you know, like incredible guests, incredible topics on love and parenting, relationships, dating, violence, crime, mental health. We did so much back in 2010. But the people who were sponsoring it, the people who were doing all of the behind the scenes work, you know, we ended up having different ideas of where to take the show. You know, during one of the shows, they played a hip hop song that was completely against what I stood for, right? And I was like, we're not doing that anymore. They was like, well, this is the artist on our label. And I was like, well, then I'm not doing a show with you guys no more. And then, you know, they tried to come back and ask me this and ask me that and make this offer. I was like, no, we're not on the same page. And I'm not compromising, you know, my ideas. And I'm not compromising my morals and my values and my principles, right? Just for notoriety. That's not what I'm doing. So that fell apart. And, you know, obviously I was doing interviews before that, right? My whole life, all I've done was talk to people and ask questions. So that's all I wanted to do was be a talk show host, you know? So since 2010, I've sporadically done interviews. I've done, you know, sporadic video interviews, sporadic audio interviews on the Sugar Ray Show, on Anchor, Spotify, things like that. But I wasn't consistent, you know, so many emotional things, man, so many family drama and losses, and you know, I was just always emotionally overwhelmed. And this year it hit me. It was like, okay, again, I know I want to do the Sugar Ray Show. I was like, I'm always going to be emotionally overwhelmed, right? It's always, friends are always going to die. I know a lot of people all around the world, so I'm always going to be dealing with death. You know, life is never going to be perfect, in a sense where I can have a clear mind to really focus. So I just gotta channel through all of the BS. And I said, you know what? I'm committing to the Sugar Ray Show, even though I got to start virtually, which I didn't want to do because I'm a personality, right? Like, I am a personality. I mean, everyone's a personality, but I'm made for TV, right? And I know that, and the people closer to me know that. And it was like, that was always the ideal. So it was hard to, like, scale back and say, I'm going to do it this way. Even when I was doing the audio, which is part of why I was inconsistent, not just the emotional baggage that I was dealing with, but the fact that it wasn't my ideal. But I had to humble myself and say, you know what? I'm not there right now. I don't have the money to do it the way I want to do it. You know, I don't have the people around me to do it the big way I want to do it. So let me do it the easiest way possible. That still allows me to show my face, right? That still allows me to be interactive with my guests, still allows me to be who I am, and get it rocking. And so I committed, and we dropped an episode every day, 5 days a week for the last 2 weeks. And we're going to do it again this week, and we're going to keep going. Until, you know, summer's over, and in September, October, we're launching season 2, which will be live studio audience. You know, I found the space. You know, the owner of the space is willing to work with me. They're not charging too much, and so I'm really excited, you know. And this is all I've ever wanted to do, man, because I believe that stories is what brings the world together. You know, music, food, yes, but it's through storytelling that we realize how similar we are, right? We can have different political ideals. We can have different religious beliefs, different financial brackets, different sexual orientations, different. Everything could be different languages. But through the sharing of stories, through hearing someone else's story, you realize that we all go through the same things. We all deal with loss. We all deal with pain. We all deal with drama, struggle. We all have hopes and ambitions. We all want peace in our homes. We all want love, right? And so the Sugar Ray Show is the platform capturing the human experience, you know, through interviews. And I'm excited, and the goals are big goals. You know, I have a Roku network, you know, Star Quality TV that'll be launching this summer. And so when the Sugar Ray Show goes on air, we're going to launch it straight on our show. I mean, right on our network. So I'm really excited about that, man. And we're going to use this as a vehicle to, you know, again, make the world smaller, bring the world closer, but also to generate funds to fund our philanthropic endeavors, build schools and clinics and help families, help individuals all around the world with any issues that they're struggling with. That money could be a help, right? Or presence, right? Could be a help and a benefit. And so this is my vehicle. The Sugar Ray Show is my vehicle to continue to heal the world.
I want to touch on something that you said, which I think is vastly important in the world today, and that we don't understand it enough, particularly because we live so distantly, particularly from our relatives most of the time and stuff like that. And the word elder has like sort of lost its term, because I think elders now still want to be leaders, but leadership should be really done between the ages of 30 and 60. And then after that is elderly wisdom, because you sort of fall out of touch with reality, no offense to anyone out there. But, you know, I think that that's just human nature, and we need to identify that, especially now since we're living to 190 years old. Okay. So like the first 30 years of our life are like, you know, education, experience, exposure to the world, so we get good at something. Then the next 30 is all that energy, that exercise, that, you know, doing all the expansion in our life, like building a family, you know, growing the world, becoming leaders. And then like after 60, I'm not saying it's black and white, but then after that, it's almost like this elderly thing. Okay. And I'm going to anchor this. People are like, what the fuck is Justin talking about right now? I'm going to get to it, guys. So my point being this is that stories are how we learn, and it's how we teach. And if it's not, I can't tell you my exact story to help you grow. I need to be able to pull in someone else's story to help you.
Yep. Facts.
And if 100%. We don't tell the stories, and we don't continue to do what we do, humans don't tell their stories anymore. Because of social media, because of this, everything's very outward facing. Nothing's very inward facing, meaning I'm reflecting on myself. I'm trying to grow myself. And then I'm trying to use that growth to help other people. That just doesn't exist in the world again today. I swear to you, I feel alone most of the time. And if I walk in a room where I talk about human growth anymore, people look at me like I'm freaking backwards. Because like, oh, we have school and we go to how much schooling and we listen to do this and listen to that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm like, it's the intentional growth. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to become good at this skill. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about either. When I'm talking about, you know, education or experience or exposure, that is in a more formal sense. But when I'm talking about the human development, I'm talking about holistically, where we're growing multiple facets of our life at the same time.
Yep.
You know, and to what you said, I was once a similar individual where, you know, particularly as men, I think there's this cliche or whatever, this stereotype that's kind of true, where men can't focus on more than one thing at once, but women can multitask. Mm-hmm. It is genetic because of children, and women manage that a little bit better than men, and so on and so forth. I agree with it. But I also think that going through hardships in life, where everything, when something's going to happen, it's not just like, oh, a bug hit my windshield. When you grow up in hardship or you grow up with things, sometimes that hardship just continues and it reopens the wounds and compounds them, especially if you experience death at a young age and then you experience a lot of death throughout your life compared to someone who doesn't or separates themselves from it. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. All I'm saying is this, is that we have to face it emotionally. And it takes a long time of battling through things sometimes, of fighting the demons before we come out of things and realize that, hey, okay, the emotions don't have to drive the bus. And even when I think they aren't, sometimes they are. You know, so I think that I've been there too in my life where I've let them be my obstacles and my barriers. And now you're right. They are just, it's never going to stop. Life happens for us, not to us.
100%. That's one of my favorite, I guess, thought processes, right? Or philosophies, because if we are one with God, one with the universe, one with nature, then everything that's happening is moving us closer to our destiny. No matter how painful it is, no matter how confusing it is, no matter how upsetting it is, because time, the arrow of time only moves forward, not backwards. So the whole universe is always progressing. If that's true, that means us on a microscopic scale are also progressing, even when it seems like we aren't. And that's a beautiful way to look at it.
And I agree.
That's a light way to look at it.
And I agree with it. And on one perspective, we're just a glimmer of us as our human existence, me as Justin mm-hmm. Bizarro. Like, I am a glimmer of all the humans, especially of all the humans that have ever existed. And, you know, one is that I'm humbled of my insignificance, yeah. But I also understand the significance of taking advantage of my life, even when it's the worst thing ever, even when I want to jump off a bridge, which I have wanted to do once and almost did once in my life. Okay. Same. So, like, I understand the downs in life, and I understand that I've been an extremely positive person my entire life. Yet recently, over the last few years, I had a really negative thing, even with all the success that I had. And a lot of it was because I was comparing myself to others, you know, so,
ooh,
you know, yeah, that which is crazy,
comparison?
Even though you know not to do it.
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say comparison is the thief of happiness. You know, comparison has, and I don't compare personally, right? I look at things for what they are. But in past relationships, people have compared and it ruined everything because it's like no one is another person. No experience is another experience, no matter how similar it is. So to compare is to rob yourself of the present moment and what's happening, because every experience has its own wisdom, knowledge, understanding in it that you got to extract. But when you compare, you lose that, you know. And I also wanted to, real quick, I like your word anchor in the fact that when you speak about significance and insignificance, one thing I've been saying for the last 12 years, right, a philosophy I've developed was that I'm like a speck of dust free floating in the universe, right? So it's just a speck of dust, but I'm also a tree grounded and rooted in this space, right? So the insignificance of a speck of dust where you could barely see, but also the significance of a tree, which I'm here and I'm going to make my presence felt by growing as much as I could possibly grow and influencing and inspiring the people around me to grow as much they can grow and to let that radiate outwards just like a tree and branches and the fruits.
I agree with you. And I think that God is a lot about energy also, the energy that makes us all exist. You know, if we talk about our soul and our body is just a vehicle, then it's all about the energy, right? Then our soul is that energy we give to the world, we give to ourselves, we leave behind, okay? And that energy, maybe it's like carbon because everything exists in carbon, yep, or whatever it is for God, but then it passes on to someone else, okay? And we talk about this when we're eating. If an animal is treated badly and we get that meat, we can weirdly, it is true that the psychological aspect of the animal when it is being killed matters in the quality of the meat, and that weirdly passes on to us in the chemicals and the hormones and all of it, which, again, carbon. And so it is an understandable thing that the way we live our life surpasses us even if we want it to. The energy that we live by, the energy that we leave behind has significance, okay? And my personality, insignificant, okay? This is what I'm saying. But my principles, those are significant because that's the energy I live behind, you know? So let's talk about this a little bit in terms of the family life. You know, you've had some struggles. You have kids. You know, life's been pretty hard. You mentioned relationships just now, which I will agree with you. The comparison thing in relationships is very hard. I've done it in relationships. I've done it as an entrepreneur where I'm like, why do they have so much? They've been an entrepreneur. Or I've been an entrepreneur longer than they have. Why don't I have more? And I fell into this. Why isn't my relationship better? Why don't I have kids of my own? Why don't I have stepchildren? And it ruined, like, literally, it you know where it ended? Me wanting to jump off a bridge in the end because I fucked up my life so bad, you know, even though I had everything from every outside perspective, you know? Yeah. So I think that we have to go through ups and downs in life, and whatever God put me through it is to help others out there. That's what I know. Whatever God puts us through, 100%. It's to help out someone through our stories, to anchor that 100%. Again. So 100%. Let's talk about your family, your life.
No, I'm going to go right there. So one thing I realized that has been the most significant for me in sharing with other, particularly men, right? I realized when I got married in 2015 at 31 years old, I was, I guess, emotionally ready to, like, be there in a family, in a home, right, raising children. But I wasn't ready, man. Like, I didn't have life insurance, right? I didn't have I had ideas I wanted to execute on. I was living positively, but I didn't have a solid, concrete plan, right? I didn't have, okay, we doing this, 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 and that. It was like, okay, whatever happens, happens. We'll figure it out, right? Which is, it's okay, but it's not ideal for building a solid family, you know? So I rushed into marriage, partly because I just wanted a family, partly because my dad died when I was young. And since I was young, I've been trying to have children. All right. And I thought the only way to fill a hole in my heart left by my dad's transition, because my dad was my best friend, passed when I was 11. I felt the only way to, I guess, mend that hole or fill that hole, that gap, was to become a father myself. So it was that more than actual family, wife. And also, one thing I realized in myself and in a lot of men, we think about what type of wife we want. I want a wife that's like this. I want a wife that does this. I want a wife like this. But I've heard many men not think about what type of husband they need to be in order to have that type of wife. And that was myself, right? I thought about the type of wife I wanted down to the T. But I didn't realize that in order to have that, I got to be a husband with consistent income. I got to be a husband with a long-term plan. I got to be a husband with either a lot of money or really good credit, right? Like, to have that. And I didn't. And ultimately, it fell apart, you know, for more reasons than just that, you know. But those are some things I recognized in my own, you know, experience as a husband, you know, past, as a father, and just as a family man and as a man in general.
I want to talk about this big time, because what you just said is something that I agree with 100%. Like, I don't have children of my own. I have what I would call stepchildren, but they wouldn't call me a step-parent, I don't think, that I basically was around and part of their life significantly, never missed a sporting event, always there for them for every significant occasion, spent any money I had to help them with school or whatever their mother needed for them, hands down, you know, holidays, you know, definitely presents, vacations, go see the world, try to get them exposure to the world. I really made an effort over 8-9 years. And then when I sort of spun out of and Food Service Partners, we sold off a bunch of the companies over the last 7 years, and then we went through some crisis and we've bankrupted some companies, and we all the trials and tribulations of an entrepreneur, and when you have business partners that aren't growing, for lack of a better term, and all of a sudden I feel I have this hole in my life, okay? And I go through this panic attack, which leads to an identity crisis, which ultimately leads me to that bridge we're talking about.
Yeah.
But I thought I went and ruined my relationships, because I thought the only way to fill that gap in my heart and the hole in my soul that I was feeling because of, you know, 24 years of my life at 43 years old. You know, I've been doing food service partner since I was 18 years old. It was the only dreams I really had. It was my whole plan for life. And all of a sudden it disappears and I have a huge hole. Like, my dreams are gone. Like, what am I doing? Like, is this the right family? And for some reason, as a male, it's unbelievable. And I wish all females could understand this about men, is that when we have a problem, we all of a sudden think that we're going to fill the gap by being a father.
Yep. That's a fact.
Of our own children. I don't know why, but I can't tell you now, since I went through this, how many people also have been through this. Some of them even have kids, or went and left their relationships, had kids, and then went back to their relationships, and there's this weird thing going on, and it happens. But I will also say, good for the women out there that understand that men go through this and need to give them a second chance, okay? Because it's not always the case, and not all men deserve it. I'm not saying I deserve one. But I am saying that what I try to do is make amends and mend the fences for the damage I've done in any way possible. It's going to be a long fucking road, okay? Let's just make it that way. And that's part of being a man, okay? And living by examples. We fuck up. We happen to do it more often because of the way we live our lives and because we're always trying to make sure our family's okay, so we take bigger risks to give the bigger rewards. If we're really trying to protect our family, it's not about being conservative. It's about being aggressively persistent.
Talk about it.
And that's how we set example. That's how our kids become better at sports, at school, at life. That's that consistency every day. It's why, even though there's some days I do not want to record 3 or 4 or 5 podcasts a day, or sometimes even one, I know that I have to do it and I have to keep the consistency in my show. Because if I let down the momentum, I hurt myself, I hurt the stories, I hurt lives that might be impacted by them. And I don't show, you know, my, whatever you want to call them, my previous stepchildren or Deborah's kids, that consistency wins in the long run, even when life kicks the shit out of you.
But
so I think that that's really spot on what you said, is that we think that there's this destiny that we have to fulfill, or when we've lost our dreams or our grounding isn't concrete, for some reason, especially during a midlife crisis or an identity crisis, we balance right to this weird, what should I say? It's like we're animals back in the animal kingdom. Like, it's just time to like hump it out and have children and live our legacy. If I don't have a plan and I don't have a dream, well, my children will be my dream and my legacy. So let's have a child, you know? And, you know, I didn't do anything bad like that or cheat or do anything bad per se in that way, but I did break hearts and I did fuck up relationships and I did hurt people, including, okay, Deborah's kids and Deborah and her family and my family and everyone in the process, because I got this idea in my head because of this dramatic situation I went through and I lost my foundation. It also came with, you know, what we talked about on your show was realizing my father had turned into like a dictator in life, you know, as he got older. And therefore, the man who shared my birthday and everyone said I was alike and who I always wanted to be like, because he was such a business person and a global business person when I was younger, I all of a sudden be like, I don't want to be like that in any way possible. And, you know, so my whole foundation fell apart. So, you know, what's my fix? Oh, let's Justin go have children, you know, and you know, and I blamed people. I blamed the world. I never did that in my life. But all of a sudden, when everything fell apart, I became this victim. And I was like, what is going on here? It took me about 3 months. I went through this for about 3 months where I just couldn't snap out of it. I wouldn't talk to anyone, really. I do the podcast. I go through it. I thought I wanted a family. You know, you can hear it on my Justin the Food Entrepreneurs episodes, I bet, where I'm like all over the board because I'm so confused and lost in life, yet I'm trying to tell everyone's story. So this show's not about me, but I just wanted to anchor that with you, Sugar, because I think it's so important that we talk about that.
You know, that's so real, man. It's so real. You know, we have to remember one of the keys, I think, in life is remembering that, yes, your life is your life, right? Like, you have to live your life. No one can live your life for you. And as much as you are an individual, you are also a link in the chain. And so your life is not only your life. Your life is connected to those before you. Your life is connected to those who are with you now, right? And your life is connected to those who will come after you. And so to be aware of that, that's wisdom. That's like, okay, like, I can do what I want, but just because I can do what I want doesn't mean that I should, right? I think I developed this quote years ago. It was like, just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean it's right to do. So yeah, you can go out there and do whatever you want, right? But it's like, whoa, is that part of the legacy that you want to build, right? You have to be thinking about, again, why you're here, right? Who brought you here? You are here not only because of your parents, right? You are here because of their parents and their parents before them and all of the uncles and the aunts and the cousins and the teachers before them. You have come from a long line, a long legacy of people who literally, like, prayed for you to be here at this time, right? Because all throughout the world, we've all dealt with struggle. There are tons of stories of different groups of people who were, you know, enslaved and captured and brutalized in that war. And so families literally prayed that one day they will have a child, one day they will have a grandchild, a great-grandchild that won't be in this position that they were in, right? And so now a lot of us here today, even though slavery still exists just in a different way by a different name, right, especially here in America, is now mass incarceration, is now, you know, wage salary, right, or wage theft, right, wage slavery. We know that that still happens, but it's like, it's different than it was, and we are a little more free because now it's up to us now. It's up to us. We can create a better reality. Yes, there's still people who are always trying to oppress, but the world is so much smaller. The internet made the world so much smaller. Travel is so much easier, right? Before there was a time when you literally had to get the resources to go to another country to learn a culture. Now you can do that by talking to somebody on the internet, on a cell phone. You can learn language, you can learn culture, you can learn about food, you can learn what other people are going through, and you can strategize and you can communicate and figure out solutions together without actually having to build up all the resources and ask for permission and go through all of the channels to go visit another place, right? So it's our responsibility to, like, you know, for lack of a better word, men and women, to man up, to stand up, to be who we are. As tough as it is, we got to do better. And we have it in us. We all have it in us to be our highest potential. And that's all we have to do. Just do your best. And understanding that, you know, that's one of the four agreements, right? In Don Miguel Ruiz's books, one of my favorite books. Always do your best. But understand that your best looks different if you just lost a parent, as opposed to if you're thriving. Your best looks different if you got a sprained ankle or you're struggling financially than it does when if everything is clicking. So, but if you could do 30%, do 30%. Don't do 10. All right. So always do your best at whatever space you're in. If you can't walk, read more, write more, right? Use your hands more. If you can't use your hands, then talk more, right? Like, it's always more we can do. And that's how I live my life. Like, always striving to push myself to my limit and then go beyond so that I can be at my best and inspire those around me to be at their best so that we can create the world that we all want to live in. Because I think the great overwhelming majority of the world is good and wants good things, you know, and wants the same things pretty much, you know, give or take a few, but the same essential things, which is love, peace, right, freedom, you know, truth, justice, you know, equity, equality. We all want the same things, but we're not doing our best. So it seems like the world is really bad when it's like it is, but that's a small percentage. And if all the good people really did our best, then it would eradicate all of the bad that's happening in the world. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you want to touch on your family, your dynamic, like lessons? I mean, I know you do a lot of keynote speaking and stuff like that. Is there anything you want to touch on before we sort of move on? Because I just want to give you the floor because I think there's a lot there in this family dynamic. You know, the Father's Day thing yesterday. You mentioned going to a movie by yourself on Instagram. You know, all of that type of stuff.
I mean, the biggest thing I always want to touch on is just the human potential. You know, it's not outside. It's inside, you know. And I think meditation, you know, it's a ancient, I think, Asian proverb. Is like, we could change the whole world if we taught every 7-year-old how to meditate. All right. Stillness is the way, right? And that's in every religion, every spiritual system. It talks about stillness. It talks about going inside and connecting with God, connecting with the divine, connecting with yourself. Right? Like, study yourself and show yourself approved, right? Be still and know that I am. Same thing, different language, right? And so I just always want to encourage people, you know, as tough as it may be, because what also happens when you go within and you sit with yourself all of the demons come, all of the traumas come, right? All of the pain resurfaces. But it's like, breathe through it. Know that it's okay. It happened, right? As scary as it was, as painful as it was, it happened. And the fact that you're still here, the cliche reigns true. What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. And because your life is not only your life, you survived it, not only for yourself, so that you can share with someone else. Two things, share with someone else, maybe how to avoid that thing happening and how to heal or move forward after it happens, whatever it is, you know. So I just always want to encourage people, man, to, you know, take some time to meditate. Meditation looks different for everyone. Some of us, you know, we do sitting meditations with a mantra. We do, you know, meditations, you know, movement meditation. But also understand that there's a big difference between just laying down, thinking a lot, and meditating, right? Because a lot of us think that, you know, I'm laying down, you know, and I'm being still, and I'm thinking that that's meditating. No, that's thinking, all right? Meditation is the process of emptying your mind. Not that no thoughts will come, but it's just that being so still that every thought that comes, you're aware of it, you're able to move past it, watch it like a movie, let it come like a butterfly, and let it go. And then breathe, and then come back to stillness, come back to balance, come back to harmony. Yeah, and that's really it. Then we can move on.
Well, and I think that that's part of it as well, right? When I have emotions, but I'm still, I'm grounding myself back that I'm still okay. I'm still here. I'm still breathing.
Yep.
Okay? It didn't kill me.
Yep.
Right? Because a lot of stuff in life can be so overwhelming, it feels like it's going to die, especially as entrepreneurs when we're really blazing trails or we're expanding our companies and or leaders or whatever, and we're on the edge. I think it takes a very unique human who's had a lot of practice in this and knows how to deal with life in certain ways. I would say that not all leaders have it, and not entrepreneurs or all successful business people or successful people have this skill. But the ones who really have it, they're almost the ones who seem to live life in peace and with success.
100%.
Okay. And whatever that means, even in the worst scenarios, even though they've committed some of the worst scenarios.
100%.
And so, like, that peace is an interesting thing, and getting back to that peace of mind that we're sort of talking about. And it comes in a lot of forms. I agree. Meditation's one of them. I think group work is a big one. If you have addictions, mm-hmm. those group, you know, those anonymous programs, those are big deals. Anything that you can, counselors. I think the ability to talk about stuff, the ability to use the multiple resources that are out there, and not one solution is the answer. It's not the answer in life. You need to use multiple tools to build something. You need to use multiple tools to build yourself. You know, and I think that go ahead.
I love that. No, I love that you said that, because the word building is so essential, right? Like, just like building a building, like building a house, right? Understand that your body, your life, is a building block, right? You come into this world, right, as a baby, having all of the wisdom, but we forget it. And so it's about building yourself up and understanding that, just like a block of clay, right, that's you. So you can mold yourself into whatever you want, and you're building yourself up, right? That's the ancient way, is building. Not just in the sense of we're building all these elaborate buildings, but you are building an elaborate masterpiece. So as you mentioned, just like if we were to use a saw, a drill, you know, a ruler, a pencil, and all these other tools to build a building, right, to build a school, to build a hospital, to build a city, use the same multiple tools just in a different way to build yourself, right? Manage your time, right? Have a blueprint. Right. It's the same exact thing. You need a blueprint. Then you need, you know, a time management. Say, okay, how much time is it going to take? I can spend this amount of time on this amount of time on that. I need this tool for that. I need this tool for that. It's the same exact concept. So we just need to take all of the things that we use on the outer space, right? I mean, outside of us, and just use those same tools to build the inner space, right? Inside of us. And it'll reflect 100%. 99% of the time is going to reflect on our outer lives, you know. And so we all can have the life that we desire, the life that we dream of, if we're willing to do the work. And that's the challenge therein, is that most people aren't willing to do the work, because it's real work. So we'd rather do work on all of the outside stuff as opposed to doing the work on the inside, partly because a lot of us have this mentality that, well, we're gonna die anyway, so what's the point? What's the point? Why are you here? You're not here just to live and die. You're not here just to breathe and then stop breathing. You are here for a purpose. You are here to make something. You are here to leave something. You are here to build something. That something is yourself and your legacy. So we have to always be thinking, if I die today, if my breath stopped today, if the breath of my body ceased to exist right now, what legacy did I leave? For my family, for the world, for my descendants? Did I make my ancestors proud? Did I make God proud? Did I live myself in a way that God would be like, whoo, you did it? And that's all. We got to be honest with ourselves, because most people aren't, obviously, which is why you can, you know, there are people, if you go to a nursing home, right, if you go to a hospital, people in a deathbed, the biggest thing is regret. They didn't live their life to their fullest. They shrunk themselves. They shrunk themselves to fit other people's ideas of who they should be, right, or who they thought they would be, who they're supposed to be. But they all got regrets, and regret is bigger than failure. I'd rather fail knowing that I tried to live and try to do it in the way that's in my heart and my spirit than grow old and be like, I wish I would have tried that thing. Oh, I wish I would have did it. Now you're too old. You're too old to try the things you wanted to try when you was 25, 35, 45. You're 80. You might not, your body's not working the same. The person who you wanted to ask to on a date is dead now. You can't ask them on a date no more. They died. Right now you got regret and just remembering the face, remembering the smile, remembering that one opportunity. It's like, nah, man, take those chances. Live your life to your fullest, as long as it's in alignment with who you are, which is why I know that to know who you are, you got to meditate. You got to go within, because most of us are brainwashed. Most of us are conditioned. We're literally out of our minds. We're not living our life according to who we are. We're living our life according to who society says we should be, who the schools told us we are supposed to be. Even who our parents told us we're supposed to be. And it's like, yes, your parents, you come for your parents. Your parents are your guides. But your parents are not your gods. You are your higher self, right? You are your roadmap. It's in you. The path, the great philosopher dwells within you. But you got to get in contact. You got to get in contact. You got to make connection with yourself. And then the path illuminates before you.
And I agree with this 100%, particularly the illumination, but it takes facing darkness to get that light. 100%. Number one. 100%. Number two is I love this part, because what you said is, I would say most humans, in my experience, have the inability of being honest with themselves, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is there's very few humans there in between that can be brutally honest with themselves. Okay. Yes. And here's what I mean. You know, and people are like, what do you mean? I mean, how many people don't say I'm sorry even though they've done something wrong, okay? And how many people how many people say I'm sorry too often, okay? So it is both spectrums. I get it. Mm-hmm. But what is it that we are really trying to do here? Like, I'm a very apologetic person. I'm like, if I made a mistake multiple times a day, I'm quick to admit it, because I don't want to live with that shit. I don't want to carry it around with me. Why? Because I'm so brutally honest with myself. I'm the one judging myself, okay? And it's a hard place to live, because if you're not careful, you can go into self-pity. But I would say that we are conditioned, to your point, based on society, to sort of not be the version of ourselves that we're supposed to be or want to be. And I don't mean like expressing ourselves through our sexuality. I understand all that, but I'm talking about every human in the world that would make things that we don't need to express ourselves so strongly in order to get somewhere. We can just live and express ourselves normally, okay? And I know that's hard for everyone to believe, because in order to make differences, we got to express ourselves strongly. But we should be able to create a society where we are so brutally honest with ourselves, you know, in the democratic system, that we don't have to, you know, we can go and we can have ourselves heard, and we can express ourselves, and we can be who we are without having to be so, what I would say, extreme or loud, because society isn't accepting it. You know why society is not accepting it? Because individuals in society aren't being brutally honest with themselves about their fears. You know, because we are fear-based animals, okay? No, there's no doubt about it. Most animals are. It's about survival. We fear dying. We also fear, as humans, as social beings, being ostracized by our family, being ostracized by our community. That's why, which I'm going to tie this to, is why when you made the comment about slavery, we still talk about mass incarceration, Okay. Mm-hmm. We're also still going to talk about abuse in every which way and form. Still slavery. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're trying to enslave someone. Okay. We're also going to talk about, you know, child sexuality and sexual trade, because all of that's a form of slavery also that still exists. Okay. Like back in the day where slavery was a little more obvious, you know, at the same time we have slavery in America, the Russians are just enslaving their own people at the same time, and both emancipated around the same time. But it's interesting because it doesn't matter. You know, we look at it as slavery, we took people from Africa or other parts of the world. But in slavery doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be taking someone from anywhere. It can be your own government, your own society enslaving its own people. Okay? And I will anchor this so everyone's like, yeah, where does that exist today? The one child rule in China. Okay?
Big time.
You know, so this is, you know, when we talk about it in the significance of today and the power of today, and we're celebrating something, but we're also needing to empower ourselves in that celebration to go fight the version of it exists today, because it isn't always so obvious. It never was. Even back in the day, people found a reason to justify what was going on, even though by today's standard, it's horrific for most people. Like, oh, that would never happen to us. It would never happen to you. But what are you doing on the internet every day and searching and the pornography? What do you think you're supporting there potentially?
Awesome.
Yep. You know what I mean? So it's like that type of thing. So the mic's yours. Let's go sort of into this, because the history, what it means to you, and you were talking about incarceration, which I agree with, and it's part of your story. So let's talk about all of that.
Yeah, man. I mean, for one, like direct relationship, my brother, you know, I know people. So I did 3 years in prison for a shooting, right? And I know people who have killed people, have killed two people and did 8-9 years in prison, right? My brother robbed a couple of banks, right? Took a little bit of money in the 70s, 80s. And my brother got sentenced to 128 years and a third in 1990, right? Like, in 92, rather. In 92, yeah, 90. He got locked up in 1990, came home. Got locked up in 1990, went up north 1992. Came home 2016 on a medical compassion release after 26 years. But they sentenced him to 128 and a third for stealing some money. He never stole a whole lot of money. I think he said the most money he got was like maybe $12,000, right, in the 70s, 80s from robbing a bank. He robbed a lot of banks, right? But for stealing money, you get more time. You get 100 times more time than people who kill people. Right?
That's society, though, right now. Sorry to anchor this, but money means 100%. More than people's lives right now. People are willing 100%. To destroy people over money, just saying.
100%. And that's sad. And so when we talk about Juneteenth, I understand it, the emancipation of slavery, right, the last slaves in Texas. But I also understand that, you know, and I think Ava DuVernay made a documentary, I think the 15th commandment or something like that, where it just changed from, you know, having slaves to, it was like, unless, you know, convicted of a crime. And that's when they had the black codes and, you know, you can't be outside at this time. And, you know, you can't be doing this, you can't be doing that. They created all these laws, right? Well, I think vagrancy and all these other laws against black Americans to find ways to incarcerate us, right? Essentially enslaving us. And it's like, man, so, you know, it's like, it's something to celebrate, but for me, not really, because people are still enslaved now, right? And even deeper than physical enslavement, they worked on our minds, and so people are enslaved mentally, right? And myself, as someone who, I was once in the streets, right? I sold drugs, I lived a life, I had a lot of money, but I was mentally enslaved, right? And it was in prison that I really understood that. In this spot, I can't go home, I can't do exactly what I want, right? But I found freedom of my mind because I remembered that I was a storyteller. And that's what I tapped into in prison, my writing and my stories. And that's what helped me, you know, get through. It wasn't obviously not a long time, but long enough, right? 3 years, 31 months. That's a lot of time to be locked up, you know, 20 years old. And so I just want us as a human society to realize that no one is free until we're all free. And even deeper than that, we have to really start having conversations about what freedom actually means, right? Not just what someone told us it means, right? But what does freedom actually mean, And so I just want us as a human family, not just black people, but as a human family to understand that and realize that, yeah, these people over here may be imprisoned in this way. These people over here may be, you know, getting oppressed in this way. But it's all connected. It's all connected. And as Dr. King once said, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And so I want us all to continue to unite, which is happening. I see it happening. You know, people like you and I, different backgrounds, different. It's happening. It's happening even more obviously than us. So I'm grateful. I'm excited. But I want it, you know, as Godspeed, as they say, you know, I just want it to happen as it should happen, which it is. And so I'm grateful that we really connect and really unite on these common themes. And we fight for each other. We fight for each other, not just, oh, that's your problem over there. Oh, that's their problem over there. Oh, that's that issue over there. Nah, all of the issues are connected. And essentially, all of the oppressors throughout the world have the same ideology and they speak the same language. Not English language or not verbal language, but they have the same mindset. All right. And together we rise. So together we can liberate ourselves. You know, we're at a time again with the I guess you could call it the information age or the misinformation age, whatever you want to put it, the age of technology. We're like, we are uniting, we are sharing resources, we are understanding each other's struggles. And let's just keep doing that. You know, let's just keep plugging into each other, realizing that our best resource is each other. You know, our best allies, our best friends, our best partners are each other in this fight for human liberation.
Yeah, I'm going to anchor this for you because you're on to something that I just want to talk about. Number one is politics, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, okay? Number one, any politician, I don't care what the fuck party it is, who promises you they're going to solve your problem for you, don't vote for them. I don't care how the fuck popular they are. If they aren't providing tools, okay? I'm not talking about financial tools or government handouts here. I'm talking about building real tools and communities for your kids, for your people, for schools, education systems, entrepreneurial ways that they can learn how to make their own money, balance checkbooks, all of that shit. Do not listen to them, okay? Yes. Because they are an individual who doesn't really understand what's going on in their spectrum. And I don't care if they're white, black, purple, yellow, green, red. Doesn't matter on whether or not you relate to their personality. I will call skin tone a personality, not a principle. Okay?
Powerful.
Right? It's our principles that we identify people by the skin tone. It's stupid. Right?
Mm-hmm. Facts. I like that.
And so here's the thing is... When we look to the government to fix our problems, when we look to them for handouts, the government is starting to enslave us to the government, okay?
100%.
And if they can enslave us that way, they will create laws to enslave us. I don't know how to tell you this, but people in power want to maintain in power. No matter how clean or uncorrupt we think it is, there is the corruption of the human mind, okay? Which is every human desires significance and money for some reason. Okay? It is like the devil's constantly tempting us by our own significance. Okay? Believe me, I've been there. I've done that dance with the devil. Okay? And so on the spectrum of how do we do things, I think we respect what's happened in the past and we understand that this is a horrible thing we've done as humans, but it's not over. And while celebrating the emancipation is important, and I agree with it, more importantly, it should be celebrated through action forward.
Facts. Talk about it.
And that's for me where it comes. Like today is not a day off or a holiday in the thing. Today is a day off for me to go spread the good word, which is why we're doing this podcast today.
And that's why I wanted to do it today. When you set the schedule, that's what I said, no, let's do Monday. It didn't even, you know, I was a few minutes behind. You said, let's reschedule. No. Let's do it today. Today is important because it's still work. We still got work to do. People are still enslaved physically and mentally, financially, right? People are in debt beyond what their lifetime could pay for, that their children are going to incur their debt, right? So, like, we got work to do. And so I said, no, let's do it today.
And we've got to be careful because even today, you know, we don't know what the Russians are actually doing to the Ukrainians. Right. And just to give you an example, no one knew what was happening to the Germans were doing to the Jewish population or the African population or anyone that wasn't blonde, blue eyes. Okay. It wasn't just the Jewish population, just so everyone knows. We talk about it because those who are ended up in concentration camps, because those who did the slave labor. But when you believe in a purity of a race, you eliminate all races.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this isn't like this is still we're celebrating emancipation and it was over. Even after emancipation, a huge empire rose up and enslaved tons of people. You know, and the Japanese did it to the Chinese. And then we put Japanese people in concentration camps of our own here because we were afraid. Fear.
Yep.
So it's not like even the winners of the war who get to write the history books, which I believe freedom should win and liberty, but we still did it in ways that aren't so clean, that we still stumbled on because of fear, you know? And then we still allowed communism and stuff to run the world, even though we fought this great war for the what we called human rights, and then we threw them all away right afterwards.
Mm.
You know, so this is the thing that I always find interesting, is that governments, even though they claim to be free and they claim to be out there, if they're not protecting the freedoms and not enslaving their own people, then they can go out and do good. And there's periods in American history that I can say that there are governments or people that have led on both sides of the parties that we've seen that. Okay, maybe history and what's going on in the world doesn't exactly look like what I'm talking about, but these leaders have made significant enough changes in human rights and human growth to have impact, okay?
Yeah.
And then there's the ones we can significantly see, even though they may be trying, have caused major damage and steps backwards, okay? So it's like, okay, what is the government's role in the world? You know, we have to really think about that. It's not actually to take care of its citizens in the way that we think. Healthcare, it's universal. Everyone should have it. I agree. We live in a world that human life is that important. The elderly, agreed, universally. Same thing for everyone.
Even I want to build on that real quick. Even the idea of healthcare, the idea has to switch because healthcare is literally taking care of your health, which first and foremost should be preventative. Right, so that you don't get sick. Not wait till you get sick and let's find the best way to take care of everybody when they're sick. It's like, whoa. Obviously, when someone gets sick, they should have free resources, access, right, to whatever resources they need to heal themselves. But the idea of healthcare has to change from a medical institution to truly a wellness foundation, right? Wellness foundations where we teach people wellness. We teach people how to be from birth. Mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally well. That's what has to happen first when we talk about healthcare. Because right now, we don't have healthcare, we have death care. Caring for people until they die. That's what we have in America and throughout the world.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We are not proactive at all in this, not from a government standpoint. And the United States Food Pyramid, fucking throw that thing goddamn out the window.
100%.
And so it's like, you know, it's an interesting thing when we try to provide, we think we're providing solutions for individuals, but we're actually taking control of their lives. Okay.
Exactly.
We're not giving them tools. We're just giving them dependency. What is healthcare? Well, dependency until I die. Okay.
Right.
It's not actually promoting me. I can go to the doctor all I want. And he can put me on this drug and he can tell me to eat healthy, but it's not putting me in an environment or giving me a lifestyle to live that way. You know, and I get the point of human choice and free will. I honestly, in liberty and democracy and all of it. However,
human choice is predicated on the knowledge received.
Exactly.
If you don't have the knowledge, your choices are then skewed, right? If you don't have the knowledge, no one around you in your family or close to you has the knowledge, right? If media is bought by the pharmaceutical companies, then all the information you're getting is to drive you towards one thought process. So then your choices are always going to be skewed. If you talk about choices, if I only know of ketchup and mustard, that's all I'm going to choose from, ketchup and mustard. I don't know that I can put relish on my hot dog. I don't know that I can put beans, sauerkraut. I don't know that I can put mad other things on my hot dog if all I know is ketchup and mustard.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. So I mean, what's your ultimate goal here? You do a lot of speaking. You're very active in your communities. You're doing the TV show. You know, you're always networking. You know, what is it, you know, you talked about dreams and a plan. You know, where do you feel your purpose is? Like, who, why, I know everyone's going to be like, I can't believe Justin asked this question, but why do you think God has put you through what you've been through?
Oh, I'm world healer. It's tattooed on my hand. That's who I am. Right? I'm the world healer. I am a world healer. Right? At 7 years old, I saw Michael Jackson sing Heal the World. 1991 when it came out, and I said, that's what I want to do when I get older. But sure, a few years later, I realized I couldn't sing or dance, so it wasn't the singing and dancing, it was the impact. I wanted to use my skills, I wanted to use my innate talents, I wanted to use my love of words to positively impact the world. And that's it. It's as simple as that, all right? It's as simple as that, it's to heal this world in all of the ways that I possibly can.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to touch on that we haven't talked about?
Nah, I just, well, I know you mentioned family, right? You mentioned Father's Day. Family is the most important thing, right? And we got to also understand that family is not just who we're blood related to, but family is also who we choose, right? We can be related to someone, but if we don't have the same mindset, the same, or not even the same, right? But similar mindsets, similar ideologies, moving in similar directions, then those people who we call family can actually hinder us from living our lives, right? And we can actually hinder them as well, you know. And family is understanding that detachment. I learned this in Taoism, right? The Taoism, you talking about Taoism warriorship, is detachment is true compassion for self and others. We want to control our family. We want to control our children. You know, do this. You got to do this like this. It's like, you got to love someone enough to trust the fact that God got them, the divine got them, even if they got to go through pain. Even if they got to go through, because we want to protect those we love from pain. Oh, you don't want to go through that. It's like, but if pain is refinement, then do we not want those we love to be as refined as they possibly can? To go through the fire so that they can know and learn and grow and be the best they can be? Absolutely. And so love your family, but also detach yourself. Detach yourself from the results of their lives. Know that each human has their own destiny. Each human is responsible for themselves, essentially. So no matter... And also, by you trying to control someone, you could deter them off their path that God got for them, right? But you say, oh, no, I don't want you to go there. It's dangerous. And I get it. It's fair, right? But you got to trust the divine enough to know that if God going to bring them there, God going to get them through. And whatever they go through, they're meant to grow through so that they can glow through, shine their light, right? And even more deeper in that is like stillness. Trust, faith that is all working out for the greater good, and that life is eternal, life is everlasting. It's not just a religious concept, this is a scientific truth. Energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred and transformed. And so, as tough as it sounds, every life does not come into this world to grow to their oldest age, right? Or to grow to old age and live this kind of life. No, some lives are here for a purpose. And we know that. Why? Because there are babies who die. We can say, as tragic as it is, it's a purpose in that. If God is always in control, then God is always in control. Can't no devil in hell defeat God, because the devil came from God. And the devil got to ask God permission to act. So we got to throw away these faith-based ideologies, right? I remember learning about, you know, in the Catholic Church creating the concept of hell to put people in fear. And he was exposed. He was not exposed. He was expelled from the church because he said, everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes back to source. Everybody goes back to source energy. That's the truth. Everyone returns to where they came from. So people could believe what they want, but it's like, let's all find the truth. And yes, there's a personal truth. There's a truth that, you know, individuals can stand on. But then let's just go far back as we can and remember, in our minds, and just remember, if I'm a parent, if I'm a mother, if I'm a father, no matter what my child has done, my child is welcome back home. My child is welcome back home. Apologize. Show that you are remorseful. Come back home, child. Come back to me. I got you. You're hurting. You're sad. You're sad. You're angry with yourself. I get it. Come back home and let me nurture you. It's the same way with our spiritual parent, right? And so let's just remember that. Let's just remember that. And remember that to let love lead the way. To let love lead the way. You know, and love is not control. Love is not attachment. That's possession. That's possession. We are not here to possess each other. We are not here to possess each other. We are here to watch each other grow, to watch each other flourish, right? There's a proverb. It says something like, if you love a flower, do not pluck it. The moment you pluck the flower, it begins to die, right? If you love balloons, you hold the balloon too close, it either pops or it slips out your hand. So you got to be gentle with those that you love, that which you love. Be gentle and observe it. Don't try to make it your own. Know that it's its own entity. It is its own being. Your children, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your friends, they're their own living beings with their own destinies that we are just we just happen to be in on earth, in this space, at this time, together, sharing this reality. But none of us belong to each other. None of us own each other. None of us should want to, try to, or strive to possess or control each other. Love each other. Experience each other. The true joy and bliss of what it means to be a friend or what it means to be a lover and a partner, yes. But know that each person is like a speck of dust in the wind, flowing, floating on their own journey. And we got to, I think, just allow that more. Too many of us want to restrict that freedom for our own selfish reasons. And it's human, so it's real, but it's like, let's elevate. Let's elevate.
And I agree 100%. I'm guilty of that in times as well. And we don't realize we're doing it. We have a fear of losing someone or something, and we overly protect them, which actually hinders their growth. 100%. And we need to detach from our own income and let the income be that of God's or whatever. Okay. I agree with that as well. I also agree with this, and I'm going to anchor this, where when you talked about the Catholic Church and the creation of hell, okay, and this eternal suffering that will take place if you don't do this, or there's only one way to, you know, peace, and that's choosing Jesus, what some people say. I don't, one, there's not only one way to heaven. There's all ways to heaven. It's a choice. Right. Like, right, we all get a chance. We've all were born there. We get to go back there. It's just a matter of the energy and by which we go back to it. Okay. It's how we live our lives. It's how we contribute to the world. Okay. And it's part of the journey. Our punishment is in the way we're living right now. All of you feel it.
Talk about it.
You know, the more, if you're unhappy now or you're waiting for this eternal light, then you're not going to ever get it because it's not happening now. That energy is going to transpire with you forever. That's the point. Talk not whether it. There's heaven or hell. It's that energy that will follow you and your family forever and potentially put them in hell. And I don't mean hell as in some other place. I mean right here, right now.
Right here, living in hell.
Yeah.
Frustrated, stressed, unhappy all the time.
Flicking off people in traffic for no reason. Yep. Like all that shit.
Miserable. Yep.
Miserable. 100%. Yelling at people, upset at the customer service person, taking out all your anger on them, all of that. And I think that people don't realize how much control they're trying to have over people, whether it's financial, whether because they're stressed about money, they want to have control. And as couples, that's hard, right? I get it. Both couples see money differently. But you can't control one another through it. Okay. Nope. And you need to have each other the liberty to learn lessons financially. You need to have each other have the learn the lessons emotionally. I mean, there's obviously values, you know, that you want to have in your relationships, but those are principles. We're talking about, when I'm talking about personalities, money is man-made. It is a tool. Yep. Okay. 100%. It is a tool. And we get so attached to it in our societies, in our relationships, in our families. And I get it. More money can buy better things. But money doesn't buy peace. Money doesn't buy guarantee that we're going to move up and down the food chain. Money doesn't guarantee anything in life. As I've had none of it, as I've had a ton of it, it's never any different. It doesn't change the scenario of your livelihood, of your happiness, 0%. And then people are like, yeah, well, if you have more money, you have less stress and can afford things. I agree with you. But if you didn't, if you don't have happiness before you had money, money's not going to suddenly buy it for you, even though you can buy all the things that you think are going to make you happy, including health insurance, to get on the point.
Which is how we see people with tons of money still commit suicide.
Yep. And in fact, maybe even higher in some cases.
Higher? No, it is. And then we see people with no money live fruitful lives, live lives that's in accordance with who they are, right? Even though they don't have money, even though they struggle financially for their whole life, They are happy. They're joyful, as opposed to the opposite side, right? I like what Steve Harvey said. Steve Harvey said, money is nothing but a tool that allows you to turn insignificant happening or a significant happening into just something so small. Meaning that, you know, if, you know, you have money in your family, someone who you love, you know, they're struggling and their house is being foreclosed, or, you know, someone you love gets jammed up in a situation and they're incarcerated. It allows you to, you know, give money to a situation to alleviate that problem, right, in a way, right? So that's what money is, as you say, is a tool to get certain things done. But as we all know, man, happiness is an inside job. No matter how much money you got, if you're not satisfied, you're always going to strive for more. You're always going to strive for more. And it's like, you strive. I get it, human ambition. But you're not striving for more money. Actually, you're striving still trying to find that happiness, which is never going to be found in money if it's not already there. Happiness, I like somebody else said something I read or heard a while ago. It said, money just makes you more of who you are. All right. If you are an altruistic, generous, loving, kind person, money is going to allow you to do that more so. Right. Myself, I'm an example. There was a time when I had no money and I had EBT. Right. Or I would use my mom's EBT or a friend's EBT. And I would get sandwich bread and lunch meat. I was still eating meat 2009 when I first changed my life. And I would make sandwiches and I would go on a train and give them to homeless people who were hungry. Right. I would get clothes for my friends, put them in a shopping cart and go on the train. I had no money. I couldn't take Ubers. I didn't have nothing to set up. But as I generated more income for myself, now we're doing the food distribution on a larger scale. We're doing the clothing distribution, you know, consistently. We're doing the same things that I was doing with no money on a bigger scale. You know what I mean? So the opposite is true, though. If you're a piece of shit and you're selfish and you're, you know, miserable anyway, you know, and you're grouchy, the more money you have, the more that's going to show up.
Yep, and if you're a controlling or narcissistic individual, the more you're going to try to control people, now you're just going to do it for money.
100%.
And so, like, I think that that's a big deal. And, you know, I think that as society, we need to look at that for sure. And I think that how many relationships, how many families, how many children relationships, how much do we allow money to be our higher power? Honestly,
100%.
And how many times have we ruined things in our lives because the money became more important than the individuals that we were with?
100%. Too many times.
And while I agree money as a tool, it is not, and you should want to make more and you should want to do better by your family. But that's because you have the core value of wanting your family to grow, not to have wealth. And if you want wealth, it should be in the form of legacy and core values and principles. Or morals and ethics, however you want to look at it, morality. Okay?
100%.
And then the money, regardless of how much or how little they have, they can be decent humans. But if you're training them by your own actions and the way that you're demonstrating that money means more than anything, they are going to attract those individuals and their life is going to be even worse than yours because now they're going to suffer even more because they add even more significance to it because you did. And a lot of kids are influenced by that, not the opposite. It's very few who learn from their parents the opposite to do. It takes a real thinker to like get outside our family patterns and break them. It takes a real, really, really reflective human. But humans today, it's easier to pick up a phone, get lost in social media. And this is my last thing that I will talk about. Those individuals, and I'll say individuals, and sometimes I've been this individual or this human, that we so actively judge the world around us, judge the other humans around us, focus on other people's problems and focus on what they should be doing better. You are avoiding the fact that it doesn't matter how much better that human's going to do in the world. You're still fucking it up.
Facts.
By doing what you're doing. The gossip. The negative tone. I don't care what you have to say about someone. If like you have negative, this is what I say to people. They're like, oh, why am I not succeeding in the world? Well, are you going home to your husband and doing nothing but complaining about work or your employees? Are you using their name? So you're just putting negativity in the world. You know, I find this with a lot of people. They're like, why can't my kids be honest with me? Well, you're the same parent that's telling your kid to lie about how they can't go to grandma's house or to Susie's house because you have a doctor's appointment. Just tell them this. You know, and it's so flippant. And then we wonder why honesty, people can't be brutally honest with themselves, or we aren't honest with society, or we live in homes that have alcoholism and abuse, and we're out there telling our kids and showing our kids to pretend it doesn't exist and put on a mask. Okay? You're denying reality. Okay? Then we're teaching people to lie. And even when they're lying, they don't even know they're lying anymore because it's become so a part of who they are and their upbringing. And that's the parents' fault. Shame on us as parents. You know, and so, and we have a chance to do it better now. And yet the thing that frustrates me the most in this world is that we don't live our lives to the fullest, that we are so emotionally wrapped up in the outcomes right now and the satisfaction and the emotional happiness that we want right now. We don't get the long-term effect. I would rather be happy when I'm dying and know that I lived a good life than be happy and comfortable right now. I'm sorry, I've learned that lesson. Being happy and comfortable right now only leads to misery later. I need to be purposely uncomfortable now, purposely growing, purposely letting go of the outcome. Detachment, as you talked about it, in order to have that happiness in the end, which is the energy that will leave my body and go on. Okay.
Talk about it. I love it. Yes,
so
sir.
That's the part that we're missing. It takes a lifetime of work, and it's not about enjoying now. I get it. It's okay to like sit back, relax a little bit, go out and enjoy family and friends. But at the same time, like, do any of us really remember the last 4th of July we were at? Were we really happy? What did we even talk about? Did it have any impact on the other person? The weather, how their family's doing, other than if you really aren't diving in, like, what are you dealing with, John? Is there anything that I can help you with? Like, and I'd be like, God, guys, you know, I'm really dealing with something right now. You can ask, sure, I'm very open now. God, I'm dealing with this separation right now. It's really hard on me. I don't want to be alone. Being alone in my head it by myself can often be the most dangerous place. That's why Sugar Ray said not thinking, because thinking can be stinking thinking if we're left by ourselves laying on a couch.
Sir.
And in meditation, we're coming up with ideas to give them away so we can bring them to the forefront, find peace within them. And then if that's not working, we understand that outside of meditation, there's also the ability to release it to another human.
Yes,
just
sir.
Talk about it and give it to God through another person, because God speaks through other people. And God speaks through us, okay?
Talk about it.
Not inside of us only.
Yes, sir.
And so we have to understand that God created us to procreate and be connected.
Yes, sir.
Not be individuals.
And it's so powerful that you mentioned that, because a lot of times, right, one of the biggest tragedies or travesties in human society is that, you know, we're waiting for God. I'm waiting for God to send a blessing. I'm waiting for God to send a blessing. Not knowing that God works through people, man. This shit ain't no invisible thing that's going to just magically appear, right? Like in front of you, like, oh, yeah, you know, you look out your window and there's nothing there, and then you look and there's a safe with $1 million. That's not going to happen, right? It's like God sends people to give you messages and signs. But too many times we're so stuck, we're so narcissistic, we're so stuck in ourselves, we reject the people God sent to help us. Right. There's a story, right, about a guy in the flood, right? The great flood is coming. You know, the guys in his house, you know, the people come. They're like, oh, flood is coming, you know, big flood is coming in a couple of days. We evacuated the town. And I was like, oh, I'm all right, God got me. Right? The flood starts coming, water starts rising, right? Water's up to the door. The people come again, they're like, yo, we evacuated the house. The guy's in the top, you know, the attic. He's like, oh, I'm okay, God got me, I can go ahead. Now he's on the roof. The water's getting high. He's on the roof now, right? People are coming in like rowboats now. Like, yo, they're coming in rafts. Like, yo, the flood, the storm is worse. Like, everybody's gone. Like, people are going to die. He's like, no, God got me. All right? Now, the guy's at the top of the house, on the freaking pole at the top of the house. Right? The helicopter comes and send the rope down. He's like, come on. We got to save your life. You're going to die. He's like, no, God got me. And then he dies. He's like, he goes, gets to God, gets to heaven. He's like, yo, God, I thought you had me. He's like, I did it. I sent the fireman. I sent this person. I sent mad people to help you, to give you the sign to leave. But you were waiting on me, and I was working through the other people that you ignored. That's how life really is.
Yeah, he doesn't work directly with us. It's just not, it's not the way we were created. He created all of us. He loves all of us. So it's unimaginable to me, and it's illogical to me to think that he would just be so focused on what I have to do. No, it's through other people. It's my connection. It's my network. My impact is not just one. You 100%. Know, no one's impact on me is just one. Whatever when someone has impact on me, they affect me, which affects other people.
100%.
You know, and I'm going to leave everyone with something else also. Mike Tyson I see him all over social media now. He's a great inspirational speaker at this point. He talks about when he was making like $30 million a fight. Can you imagine? I'm going to go beat someone up and get $30 million. But training and all that, it's a lifestyle. They deserve the money for sure in the way that they do, and they generate value and people want to pay for it. But he said he never found more peace or happiness than the 3.5 years he spent in prison.
Yeah.
And he said when he had the money, he was so miserable and he felt so worthless that he was often just giving it away or didn't care about it or just spending it on nonsense. Or he would get collecting things because he thought that collection and accomplishing that collection would give him value, which I can relate to a lot on all of the things that he's saying. Okay. It's until we've had it, God will give us everything we want to see if we can handle it. Right. And then we all of a sudden get the perspective in life is, do I really want this? Do I really need it? Is it important for me to fulfill what I want to fulfill in my life? Okay. Because no matter how much money we get and I get it, you know, we're not satisfied. You know, it's why Bill Gates, you know, wanted to invent the toilet that flushed itself and no poop came out of it somehow miraculously. Again, it goes back to carbon. Something's got to come out. Okay. But okay. And you can't just vanish it into air. It's got to turn into something else. And but my point being, like, we all have this need of significance, but we all misappropriate it, where we define it by what we have, by the cars that we drive, by the houses, by what college our kids go to, or how well they're doing in sports, versus what is the actual growth that we're pursuing. What is the pursuit of happiness really means, which is growth, okay? Your happiness in the pursuit of is an American thing, okay? Very much so, okay? A lot of people try to pursue excellence, meaning live a good life that builds a legacy behind us. And I'm not saying we should wipe it out of the Constitution. I'm just saying happiness has to be redefined as something that's not instant, okay? I can have happiness when I get an ice cream cone. Okay, but then I really have to think about, where did that happiness come from? Well, I had to work for the money. I had to drive there. I had to actually accomplish a goals along the way in order to even have the money or have the ability to get to the destination to get the ice cream. That's why it leads to happiness, not because it only tastes good.
100%.
Because there's people out there that can't afford the ice cream. And believe me, when they get it, it just leads a lot more happiness. So it's also, happiness is a perspective.
Talk about it.
So we need to understand that our pursuit and our growth for ourselves and our family, not monetarily, the money will come by doing the right thing. And you will have as little or as much as you need to pursue your purpose. That's just the way it is. But don't stop pursuing growth. Okay? And then if you're doing the right thing and providing the right solutions, you will have happiness with the amount of money that you need to be happy. In the end, okay, whatever that is, because you can't take it with you. It may go on to your family, but often family legacies and money, unfortunately, without the right core values, lead to disastrous situations for your family down the road. So, or us. I shouldn't say you, I should say we, because it's me too. I don't want to exclude anyone or think I'm above them or below them or whatever, but we as humans, we do that. I've done it. So, anyway, Sugar, anything you want to close off with? I asked you before, but I think I just gave like a 20-minute commentary there.
Oh, man, that was overtime, man. Yo, love yourselves, man. Love yourselves. Love each other, man. Know that we all we got, but we all we need. And so, like, let's work together, man. Let's rise together. Let's serve each other. And know that, and you know, service is the rent we pay for being on Earth. And service through leadership, leadership through service, man. Not leadership through control, not leadership through dictatorship, true leadership through service. And even throughout the term leadership, man, let's just serve, let's build, let's grow as a family. Love you guys.
Where can they find you? Where can they find your new show? Give them the download.
Yeah, man. My show, you can go to youtube.com/Queensbridge Studios or just search Queensbridge Studios on YouTube, and all of the shows are there from the Sugar Ray Show. You can check my website, LashawnMarston.com. That's LashawnMarston marston.com. I'll be updating the website soon. The shows will be there. Some articles will be there. Some other dope stuff will be there. A calendar of dope events we have coming up will be there. We got a big vegan festival. I actually want to talk to you about offline, Justin. This big vegan festival. We're doing a free community festival. It's our third time doing it. And Labor Day weekend, September 2nd, Queensbridge Park. That's going to be epic, man. And you can find me on Instagram. Instagram, Twitter is SugarRay4506. That's SugarRay 4506. And Facebook is SugarRay. And yeah, tap in. Let's connect. Let's build, man. And yeah, I look forward to, you know, building with everybody.
Awesome. I love it. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your time. And I will be there. I'll be there. We can talk the Vegan Fest for Labor Day weekend. Awesome. That sounds awesome. I'd love to do stuff like that. So I will be there for sure. And we can talk about anything I can contribute, or I'd love to speak also at the event if I can help out in any way there as well.
Of course.
And just help the individuals or spread the word or give you support in any way that I can. And again, I don't want anything in return. I just want to help you guys and spread the word. I've got a lot more reward out of life by doing the right thing, guys, and anyone who's out there. So I'm going to anchor that.
I will say one last thing before we go. Somebody told me something years ago that absolutely, this guy in the Bronx, Dr. Busy, told me something, two, three lessons, he said, and it helped me tremendously. He said, one, in order to get something you never had, you got to be willing to do something you never done. In order to get everything you ever wanted, you got to be willing to lose everything you have, right? A lot of us have full hands, but we want more. You got to be willing to let that stuff go, at least some of it, if not all of it, right? And the last thing he taught me that I didn't fully understand it then, but I was already living like this. He said, when you do for free what you could or should be paid for, eventually you get paid to do the things you would do for free. Right. So something you mentioned, the money comes later. Just do the work. Just be a good human. Just serve people and know that a prophet, a messenger, a servant is always taken care of. So have no worries. Have no fear. Root in your faith and know that God got you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. You can find us anywhere you grow yourself through podcasts. You can find my other podcasts anywhere you grow yourself through podcasts as well. And you can find me on Instagram. That's where I am mainly, at Justin Bizarro, BIZZARRO. And we're out.